Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Over the past few weeks, across the nation, people have transferred millions of dollars out of accounts in big banks into accounts with smaller community banks and credit unions. Why are they doing it? In the second part of a two-part program, let's go in-depth with Stu Jobe with the Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville. Stu, the public is a little bit upset at the big banks. And I learned over the weekend that there was a movement to move to smaller community banks. Has that been something that's been happening here in Iowa and even locally?
Well, I think this evolution of becoming sick and tired of big business and big banks kind of represent that has been ramping up, you know, over the last 3 years. And, yeah, it seems to kind of have reached a head. We've noticed an increase, you know, in the number of account openings here at the Iowa State Savings Bank. I don't know if I could say it's attributable to, you know, any national movement or not.
Well, I just have all these images of the, I guess I picked up over the last couple of years, of the big bankers on Wall Street and in New York, where they're doing all kinds of things, you know, risky investments, all kinds of odd investments that it would probably take a college course to understand some of them, and then consolidations of banks, getting bigger and bigger, employees looking at stacks of foreclosures and rubber stamping them without even reading them. That's probably not fair, but that's the image the American public has.
I think you're right. That's become somewhat of the image, and I'm certainly not going to come here and try to defend the big banks. I will say that what they've been doing over time is try to make money, try to raise shareholder value, try to increase profits. And it seems to have been an attitude that'll come at all cost. And I think people are sick and tired of that. At all costs, we've got to make a profit. We got to raise our shareholder values. And I think they're finally speaking up. And I think it's good that they wake up and speak their mind. The big banks have a different mentality than smaller banks. We're all thrown into the phrase, you know, the banking industry. But people are realizing that there is a difference. You know, there's a difference in that industry between the big and the small. And maybe they're just waking up to that for the first time.
We tend to think of banks as all being the same, with tellers and offices and places where you go and talk to people about your loans and stuff. But some of these big banks, they aren't anything like that, are they?
No. In fact, the big banks, the ones that get a lot of press, that get the bailouts, they are an entirely different animal than what people think of as banks. What you just described is tellers, checking accounts, savings accounts, and loans that we think of in community banking here. They are investment banks. Their deposits they collect are probably not even a small portion is consumer accounts. It's big money. It's foreign money. And their investments are types of products that are entirely foreign to us. We have invest in loans and bonds, and they have products that I couldn't even describe.
Is this a recent development? Did all of these big banks emerge, say, in the last 10 or 20 years? Was there I'm sure there was a time when all the banks were small, and there were, you know, like bigger city banks. But when did this whole concept of banks without tellers and, you know, people that you would go and talk to emerge?
Well, it's been an evolution over decades where these different types of products have become available. They were invented by these institutions. They came up with new products, new derivatives, collateralizing, securitizing mortgages. All these things were kind of invented over the last few decades. And then, like any industry, they've become to specialize in those. They're investment banks that commoditize products and sell them in different tiers. And these complex things have evolved over time.
And so people are getting tired of that. They're not moving to that. And so the American people are voting with their feet, I guess.
Well, they are. And I think that's appropriate. I think that's the appropriate way our free market system should work, where if a particular business elects a business strategy that they think is good for them, let's say it's $5 debit card fees per month, It should be the consumers that decide whether or not they want to put up with that. I like that system where somebody says this is a good business strategy for us, and the consumer says no, it's not, and they vote with their feet. And in fact, these big banks have reacted to that. Many times we see where a fee or a policy is instituted, and that's just the way it is. This one, they've reacted and canceled trials of this particular fee, or rolled the fee back altogether. I don't think anybody's going to get charged $5 a month for their debit card going forward, and it'd be a long time before somebody brings that up again, I bet.
Well, now, when I first heard about that, and I don't know anything about banking, but I knew that was a dumb idea. I bet you thought that was a dumb idea, too, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I thought that was a ridiculous idea. In our market, it would never fly. I would never consider it. And, yeah, I chuckled a little bit when I first saw that fee. I think the people that make those decisions in maybe bigger institutions don't quite, you know, there aren't maybe boots on the street where they can understand the impact. They just might look at the bottom line. But, it was a decision I knew would be unpopular. Like many decisions, they might have suspected it would be unpopular, but decided to charge ahead and see if they could just get away with it. And in this case, they couldn't. And I think we're seeing more and more of that. I think there's people are grouping together and standing up together a little more against things that affect them negatively like that, things they think are unfair.
They either had to be so disassociated from regular people or had to have these incredible egos and would think that people would notice that and would accept that. I just don't understand. They have to be smart people. Why do such smart people make such, I don't know, inappropriate decisions?
Well, I think also an aspect that has to be considered is in a small bank like ours, any community bank, it is more the type of bank we described earlier, and we are dependent upon each individual account and each customer. We need them all. In some of these larger, very large institutions, the number of consumer accounts, they're fairly insignificant in their impact to the bottom line. In fact, there's an old saying that 10% of your customers will make 90% of your profits. And so, you know, if that's true in some of these larger institutions, they really don't care about the majority, whether they have the majority of accounts or not. In fact, if they would lose some, they would make more money as long as they retain those large profitable accounts. And so I think, you know, there could have been a little mindset, and a little thought that, you know, if we lose them, so what?
It apparently ended up being more of an impact than they thought because they backtracked.
Yeah, and I think they've had their face bloodied enough over, you know, going back to bailouts a couple years ago and many other decisions that have just given them a black eye in the public. I think maybe they're being a little more sensitive about their public image. In the end, that's good for the consumer.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the banking industry with Stu Jobe with the Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville.
All right, and it's important for the consumer to recognize that our community banks are a completely different creature.
Absolutely. They're different creatures than the large banks by product, by business style. You know, there are very few similarities, and the word bank in their name is one of the only similarities.
So what happens when money is deposited in a community bank?
Well, when money's deposited in the community bank, you know, the customer is lending the money to the bank. And then the bank, to make money off that, needs to reinvest it into another product. And for community banks, it's generally loans. We try to make as many loans to serve the local community as possible. So it does go back to, you know, It's a Wonderful Life, where community members' deposits are in Mr. Smith's house and are in Mrs. Jones's car and are in a business. You know, they're invested into local homes and businesses and cars and all kinds of needs.
Now, I'm wondering if it's different in a small town than, let's say, in a larger city like Des Moines, or an even larger than that, where in a small town, sure, there's some competition amongst the banks for market share, and you can do your marketing for that. And then there's, in bigger towns, there's probably more competition marketing and trying to capture more of the populace to bring them to your bank. But in the bigger cities, they probably aren't as actively working at helping the community grow and prosper. Because in a small town, if you don't have a community that's growing and prospering, the bank is in trouble, right?
Well, I absolutely believe that. I'm a strong believer in the community banking system and the importance of community banks to our economy, our local economy, to community banks across the nation for the national economy. A community bank, you know, can only grow if its area grows, the area that it serves grows. We serve a small area here, you know, Knoxville, Melcher, Dallas, the surrounding area. So if that area doesn't prosper, we're not going to prosper. If it doesn't grow, we're not going to grow. So we have to do all we can to support and nurture that area because, you know, that's our future too. And it's also, you know, where our employees live and work. And we don't have people commute in from remote areas to work here. It's our hometown. So, you know, we need to use what we can, what we have available, to leverage this into the best Knoxville and surrounding area we can help make it be.
And so one bank in Des Moines probably isn't going to make a big difference in terms of growing the local economy, but one bank here can.
Well, and that's true. I'm because I'm a believer in the community banking system. I believe that. It's also just a function of being a little more nimble because we're small. We're more in touch with our community and our customers. We can react more quickly. We maybe wouldn't put in silly fees that we know we'll have to roll back. We can be more in touch and be more flexible. As any business gets bigger, it has to have more policies and processes in place, and it just gets harder to vary from those policies and procedures. So we have the luxury of being able to make our own decisions here, and if something needs to be decided by the top of the food chain, it can be done pretty quickly because it's here in this building.
And if one wants to, they can come in, be a new business owner, and say, I want to talk to the president of the bank, and they can talk to the president of the bank.
Absolutely. And you'll find that in community banks across the country, and certainly the case here, where you know, you'll go to the place where decisions are made, and people find that comforting, and they find it the best use of their time. Community banks can partner with their customers in a way that the large banks can't because they're more understanding of exactly what they're doing.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the banking industry with Stu Job with the Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville.
And so if the business owner wants more advice, wants you to come out to a site where you're, whether thinking about building or growing, they can do that.
They absolutely can. And, you know, large banks can do that to some extent. They become specialists in specific areas. But to serve a specific area like Knoxville or any community, you know, a community bank is just going to be able to do that better. They're going to have people that are experts in all the fields within their bank as well, and they'll have all the products that are available. Banking products, it may not come as a surprise to anybody, are commodities. I mean, checking accounts are checking accounts. A debit card's a debit card. And so, you know, those deposit products are commodities. So the only thing we can provide different to differentiate ourselves is a service. And I think community banks have done a great job of realizing that and providing service that just can't be matched by a larger institution.
Do you know ballpark how many community banks there are in Iowa?
I would say ballpark around 380.
380. And I suspect that given the declines in our rural populations, that some of those community banks are in a little bit of trouble.
Well, yeah, there's, you know, banks of all sizes that are having some trouble. And there's been less community banks, you know, over time as there's been consolidation and and some banks have struggled. The definition of a community bank isn't defined. That's why I say ballpark 380, because everybody has their own definition of it. But yeah, there are banks, because their community banks are smaller by nature, that have struggled.
So if a town struggles, the bank struggles, and so then the community bank is invested in the town. It's like a big bank that might have a branch in your small town. It's pretty easy to close the branch, and so they're not necessarily invested in that small town, where the community bank, if it closes, it dies, and so hence it's more invested in the town. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. The larger institutions, let's say one that has branches across the nation, they have the luxury of focusing their resources to places that are the hot economy right now and their efforts there, and either closing or diminishing their presence in areas that are not of growth areas. We don't have that luxury. Community bank will thrive and die by its community. So, absolutely, we're more invested.
Okay, and so the banks invest in the communities. The banks would like the community to continue their investment in them.
Yeah, it's, I think, on that point there, this leave your big bank, dump your bank attitude of go to the smaller banks. I also think it's somewhat a fallout or a following of the buy local, shop local, grow local attitude. You know, and agriculture, it's, buy your products as close to home as you possibly can. They're fresher, they're better, and you're supporting local businesses. Buy in your local retailers, and that'll help your local economy as well. I think a lot of the dump your big bank attitude is that same type of attitude. Shop local, it'll be invested locally, you'll be creating local jobs. I think it's just an extension of the buy local, shop local, grow local.
Had you thought about that before this recent movement started? Had you perceived it as such?
I'll have to say I've seen it. I've seen the importance of it. Have I connected those two movements until recently? No.
Me neither, and I find it's fascinating, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I strongly think that there's a lot to that. It's just people realizing that that you can make a difference with your dollar, or your $10, or your $100. It does make a difference. It doesn't sound like a lot. But you take, 7,500 residents in a community and you add it up, it adds up to a lot of jobs, a lot of other opportunities, more retail, more restaurants, more businesses, draws more people. It's just a cycle. And I think people have seen that in the farmers markets, and they've seen that in local retailers, and maybe they're just connecting that to banks as well.
Thanks to Stu Jobe for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.